मोकम करोति वाचा लंपंगुम लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्। So till now we have seen Srila Prabhupada's childhood, and in the last session we saw that how Srila Prabhupada moved to Allahabad, how he got initiated. Firstly, we saw that how Srila Prabhupada met his glorious spiritual master Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then we also saw that how he got initiated in Allahabad. Then we saw his various meetings and the important meeting in Radhakund, where he got the instruction that whenever you get money, print books. So two important instructions which the spiritual master of Prabhupada gave him was preach this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, in English language to the Western crowd, and print books whenever you get money. So these were the two instructions, and now Srila Prabhupada is literally going towards that. Now he has separated from his family, and now he's going to roam around as a mendicant. We also saw how he was roaming already, and how he was distributing the Back to Godhead magazine. How he was facing so much of problem, but still he was going around and distributing the Back to Godhead magazines. So today we're going to see that how Srila Prabhupada took one step closer to this mission, what his spiritual master had given him. So Srila Prabhupada lived a very nice life according to the Vedic culture. So he was a brahmachari. Brahmachari means a bachelor, maintaining proper brahmacharya, not getting into any illicit activity because his samskara was very nice. So for a very good amount of time, he was into this. And then his father got him married. But even after the marriage, so both Abhay and his wife Radharani, they both stayed separate for a good amount of time because Abhay had not completed his college. And after that, they came together, and then Prabhupada begot kids. And then after that, around the age of 50 to 52, Prabhupada gave the business, what he was handling in Allahabad, to his son. And then by the age of 56, he separated from his family. And now he's on the mission, exclusively on the mission. If you remember, we had a session in which we were discussing that there should be a time in our life where we do exclusive bhakti. Today afternoon, I was talking to my mother. I was telling her also that once we cross 50, there is no question of doing anything else. Why this topic came was we were talking about one relative, and then the discussion was the mother of that relative was not taking care of her very properly. When she came to mother's house, so mother was not taking care, properly. So I was telling her that no one in this world, is can be called ours. It's only Krishna who is there as Paramatma, always with us. Be it mother, be it father, or be it anyone for that matter. They all are temporary. What to do? And their mood will keep changing. The only person who is always there with us is Krishna. And after 50, the person goes even more crazy. Even more crazy because he expects a lot of attention from people and a lot of things. So at that time, it's very, very important for a person to just to engage in Krishna consciousness and nothing else. And Prabhupada did this very well. He gave up everything, and by the age of 56, he was just on the mission now, on the mission. So we saw there are four stages in one's life: brahmachari, grihastha ashram, then vanaprastha ashram, then sannyas. Prabhupada spent good amount of time in Vanaprastha ashram. Now he was about to take sannyas. In fact, many times Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in the dream of Srila Prabhupada, and he told him, "Come with me." And he was pointing and he was telling, "You have to take sannyas." And Prabhupada would ignore. Because sannyas is a big thing. It's not eating halwa. It's a very big thing. And again, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the guru of Srila Prabhupada, would come in the dream and say, "You should take sannyas." Then Prabhupada contemplated on this and he found that this is a very big step, towards the mission. Because a person who is supposed to lead the spiritual organization should be a renunciant, should be a sannyasi. This is what even the Vedic scriptures talk about. Because a renunciant, when he leads the spiritual organization, he lead with no ulterior motives. So this was a very, very important instruction to take sannyas. And he was feeling that this taking sannyas will be a very big step towards the original instruction of preaching all over the world. Then he started contemplating on whom to take sannyas from. Then he turned towards his godbrother, senior godbrother. He turned towards Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. Now this personality, Keshav Maharaj, was staying in Keshav Kunj in Mathura. Then Prabhupada said, let's call him as Abhay. So Abhay went and he said that he has got dreams where Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is telling him to take sannyas. Then Keshav Maharaj was like, yes, you should take sannyas. Still, Abhay was not very much into that he should. But still, Abhay Prabhu was convinced by Keshav Maharaj, no, you should. He insisted. And then on 17th September 1959, this glorious ceremony took place in Keshavji Mutt in Mathura. That place is still there. So two people got sannyas on that day. So it is described that Abhay Prabhu and another personality called Sanatan Prabhu. So Sanatan Prabhu was 90 years old. So both of them sat in the place, and there the Yajna Kunda was there. They were given the saffron robes. They were given the danda, and they were given the name. So when the sannyas ceremony took place, at that time, Keshavji Maharaj gave a name to Abhay Prabhu. And what was the name? His divine grace. Obviously, his divine grace was not added at that time, but we can call it Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami. This was the name that was given. So we call him as AC Bhaktivedanta Swami. So AC stands for Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami. And the other person who was there, Sanatan Prabhu, he got the name Muni Maharaj, Muni Swami. So in this way, the glorious ceremony of sannyas took place. Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. So still Prabhupada, that name has not come. That will come in the West. His disciples will give him the name. But now his sannyas guru has given him the name Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami. And this was a very, very important step. Now Prabhupada was free. Anyways, he was free before also, but now he had an authority to go around and preach the message of Gita. But his situation didn't change. Sannyas he took, but his situation didn't change. He was still struggling for funds. You remember for Bhakti Warrior magazine, since funds were not there, he had to stop. He had to stop the publication for some time. Still the situation was same. He was struggling. He was struggling a lot. Now there was no support, monetary support or physical support. Nothing was there. Nothing was. He was alone. He was one person. He was one man army. Then two people in his life, when they came, so these two people suggested him. Like one was librarian and the other one was army officer. They told him that, see, you're writing these magazines. You're trying your best and you're putting in so much of efforts, but people will read and throw it. Because it's temporary, it's just a monthly publication or fortnightly publication, so people will not keep it with them. Why don't you write books? Books are permanent. Now Prabhupada, or here Bhaktivedanta Swami, let's call him as Bhaktivedanta Swami now. So Bhaktivedanta Swami took it as the instruction from his spiritual master. It was as if the spiritual master of Bhaktivedanta Swami, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was speaking through the two people, telling him, books are permanent. Start printing books. Start writing books. Now, as soon as this inspiration came to Bhaktivedanta Swami, he was in Vrindavan. He returned to Delhi. He returned to Delhi. And Delhi, a particular place, Chandni Chowk in Old Delhi. So that was the printing papers capital at that time. So all printing papers and so many shops and so many printing shops were available there. But then, if you remember, Bhaktivedanta Swami was traveling from Vrindavan to Delhi and Delhi to Vrindavan again and again, to and fro. Now he was searching for a residence there. So by a very kind-hearted person, he got a free room in Radha Krishna Temple in Chippiwada. Now Chippiwada, a description about Chippiwada is given, which is close to Chandni Chowk. if you go to Delhi, you can visit these places, not to sightseeing, but to see where Prabhupada went. So Chippiwada, that place is very, very congested area with a lot of Hindu-Muslim crowd and very, very congested. So you can imagine. You can imagine the crowd in Delhi in the congested area. So very congested area. So Prabhupada would be staying there. And that room was very small. It was described, the room was very small. And in that room, so Prabhupada would keep his trunk. And then from top, now the light would be dangling, the bulb will be dangling. And Srila Prabhupada would sit and then he would be translating there. Now this translating work Srila Prabhupada started was for Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he very well knew if Srimad Bhagavatam is translated to English, it will change the entire world. It will change the entire world. And now you see, how was Srila Prabhupada translating? This is very, very important to understand. For us, it's very easy. You come to any ISKCON center and you ask Bhagavatam. You pay some, what is the current price of Bhagavatam? So there are 18 books, which cost some 6,000 or something. That's it, nothing. So now it's very easy. You just, you know, pay the donation and then you get the books. Yes. But then, how were these books made? We have to understand that. Prabhupada would have a typewriter. He would keep the typewriter on his trunk and he would be typing. The ones who have experience of typing on a typewriter, you will know that how much strength is needed to type. And there is no backspace key in that. Obviously, no, you're printing on a paper, so there is no backspace key. So you have to be very, very cautious, you know, when you're typing. Very, very cautious. And Prabhupada was contemplating on how many books will come out. And Prabhupada could make out some 60 volume book would come out when it comes to Bhagavatam. 61, like few chapters. No, he was thinking to group it together and he was thinking 60 volume book will come out. That was huge. That was huge. And also Prabhupada is contemplating, see, I'm going to translate the Sanskrit into a foreign language. And obviously there will be a lot of flaws. Then he says, he himself gives an analogy. He says that suppose the house is on fire. Suppose the house is on fire. And a person is coming to save you and you know, you don't know that person. He's a stranger. You don't know the person. He's not looking good and then he's crazy, but still he's giving you a hand to rescue you from that place. So obviously we'll not say that, no, we'll not come with you because I don't know you. So Prabhupada said like this, when I'm going to West, these people are burning in the fire of this material world. When I go there, I'm a stranger. I might be having a lot of flaws, but when I give my hand, these people will catch because they're in fire. They'll take my help. This was the analogy which Prabhupada gave. And then he was convincing himself, no problem, we start. Yes. So, day and night together, in that room, in Chippiwada, he would be translating. He would be on the typewriter, tuck, 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 going on and on, day and night together. And it is said, food and sleep are incidental. If it comes, he'll eat. And sleep was, you know, just gone. It was very, very incidental. If it's really needed for a few hours or few minutes, he would sleep, and little food he would take if it comes by its own accord. And his main goal was, when he's translating the books, so at that time everything should be in line with the parampara. That was the biggest concern which he had. He never wanted to put anything which is out of parampara. So he would refer to various commentaries of our acharyas from the past, and he would be making sure that whatever he's typing, it is in line with the parampara. Now you can imagine, this is the first book that Prabhupada is going to translate, and how much care he's taking, how much care he's taking. In fact, it is my own personal experience. Now when I'm referring to the commentaries of our previous acharyas, and I'm seeing Prabhupada's purport and translation, I can see that the translations given by our previous acharyas are exactly as it is, you know, given by Prabhupada, either in the translation part or in the word-to-word meaning part or in the purport part. You will find that as it is. That gives so much of confidence that what Prabhupada has given is in line with parampara. And Prabhupada was very, very particular. Very, very particular. In fact, it is described that Prabhupada, you know, when he would translate the books, so he would get all the books of the acharyas, our previous acharyas. And now those books were huge. So it is described that Prabhupada would open the book, huge book on the table, and then he would read through many books, and then he would compile all that and give it in a very simple term so that we, Baddha Jivas of this age of Kali, who just know English can understand that. So one of the analogies that is given is all the shastras, you know, which are there, they are like grains. They are like grains. And this books of Srila Prabhupada, the purports of Srila Prabhupada are like the Cerelac powder. I'm sure you know, you all might have fed your kids the Cerelac powder. So it's the crushed powder of all the grains. So that is mixed with either milk or water or whatever, and then that is fed to the kids. Similarly, what Srila Prabhupada did for all of us was, he took all the grains, because we are small kids, we are toddlers, how can we don't have teeth also. How can we put grains into our mouth and chew? So it's not possible. So Prabhupada took all that, understanding our condition, and then he crushed all that grains into powder, and then he gave it to us, ready to eat. Now easily you can swallow. That's what Srila Prabhupada did. Very, very big thing. Very big thing. And it's not an easy task what Srila Prabhupada did. Not an easy task. Anyways, now it will come. We'll understand what Srila Prabhupada did to publish that first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So now Prabhupada had two places. One in Vrindavan at Keshavji Mandir, and second in Chippiwada, Delhi, at Radha Krishna Temple. So there were two places where Srila Prabhupada could sit and write his books. But Prabhupada chose, let me go to Vrindavan and make my manuscripts ready. Because that place is a place where transcendental knowledge is filled and the ambience is really good. So he went there. So Prabhupada, he shifted to a place called Radha Damodar Mandir in Vrindavan. So even today, if you go to Radha Damodar Mandir, we have Prabhupada's room there and Prabhupada's kitchen is also there. So Prabhupada went to Radha Damodar Mandir and shifted there. So it's a very, very small room. Very small room. And the speciality of that mandir is that all our Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, all of them, they would gather at that place and they would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. They were all direct disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they'll all come and they would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. They'll do kirtan and they would have prasadam there. So it was a very, very power-packed place. Very, very power-packed. So that's what Srila Prabhupada felt. That's a very, very important place to go. And then he shifted to that place. And from his room, he could see the beautiful big deity called Radha Vrindavan Chandra. It's a huge deity of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote the book Chaitanya Chaitamrita. So that huge deity would be there, and Prabhupada from his room, he could see the deity. Very, very beautiful deity. Now Prabhupada would himself prepare his own prasadam. So opposite to the room, so there's a kitchen. So let me show you the photos. Okay. I tried downloading, but some problem is there by which something's happening. Anyways, it's getting hanged. Hope my audio and video is not hanged. Is it proper, audio and video? Okay, theek. So I'll continue whenever my hanged PC comes out, and I'll show you the photos. So he would sit, he would prepare prasadam in the kitchen, and then he would sit in such a position that wherever he's sitting, from that place he could see the samadhi of Rupa Goswami, one of the stalwart acharya in our parampara, Rupa Goswami. And from there, now having prasadam, he would keep pleading Rupa Goswami that, my spiritual master has given me such a big task. How will I accomplish this big task? Please help. Please help. This was the prayer, which he would have. And it's described that every night Srila Prabhupada would be sweeping the floor of that particular temple and would be crying, weeping. That how is it possible that such a big task that is given by my spiritual master would come true? Please help me. Oh Goswami, please help me. Oh Acharyas, please help me. And when he was staying in Radha Damodar Mandir, everyone were very happy with Srila Prabhupada. Very happy with Bhaktivedanta Swami. But still, Bhaktivedanta Swami was feeling within the heart that everyone in Vrindavan, I mean all the acharyas in the samadhi and the deities, they were asking him to leave Vrindavan. Go out and preach, go out and preach. This is what he was feeling that everyone is telling. So this was going on, and simultaneously, he was begging and praying, and along with that, he was translating the first volume to Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1. Day and night put together. The manuscripts were ready. To some extent, the manuscript of the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam was ready. But writing is half the job done. Writing is half. The next one was printing and publishing. That was a very, very big task. Very, very big task. He approached a person called Hitarsan Sharma. Hitarsan Sharma was secretary of J.D. Dalmia. Now, this J.D. Dalmia was the owner of Radha Press, Radha Printing Press. Now, he went there to talk to them. Now, Prabhupada didn't have, or Bhaktivedanta Swami didn't have even a single penny to, the amount that is needed to start the printing, that was not there with him. So, he went to this person, Hitarsan Sharma. But then he said that, I would suggest you to go and meet Hanuman Poddarji. So, Hanuman Poddarji is the owner or the founder of Gita Press Gorakhpur. And he said that he will help you. He will help you. Now, from Delhi, he has to travel to Gorakhpur and Gorakhpur near Lucknow. Now, it is described that this was 8th of August 1962. Prabhupada just had 130 rupees. Okay. Now, we have to go and meet Hanuman Poddarji, and he is not having that confidence that person will help, but still he is going because now there is no option. He has to somehow go. So, Prabhupada went. Now, till Lucknow, from Delhi, it took 75 rupees. And from Lucknow to Gorakhpur, the ticket costed 60 rupees. Now, what remained was a few rupees with him. Finally, he got down at Gorakhpur, that particular place, and then he took a rickshaw. The rickshaw was 80 paise. Then he went there. So, hardly few rupees were remaining. Now, just imagine, if the person does not help, if Hanuman Prasad Poddarji does not help, Srila Prabhupada, how will he go back to Delhi? He has no money, some few rupees, maybe some 10, 15 rupees is there with Srila Prabhupada now. This was the scenario. Then he goes to Hanuman Prasad Poddarji and then he gives his a manuscript and he says that this is what I'm planning. So I need your help, please help me. So at that time, this personality was a very, very great devotee. Hanuman Prasad Poddarji, a pure devotee of the Lord and also a freedom fighter. So he saw the manuscript and he could easily make out that this is an invaluable asset to the entire world, no doubt. And he was so impressed. He was so impressed. And he said, I will sponsor 4,000 rupees. So at that time, Bhaktivedanta Swami was, Bhaktivedanta Swami got donation of 4,000. And that was a ray of hope for Bhaktivedanta Swami. But the calculation what Bhaktivedanta Swami had in his mind was, it would cost 7,000 rupees. So 4,000 has come now, 3,000 more was needed. So for that 3,000, he went door to door in Delhi. Now even after going door to door, he could just get some few hundreds of rupees. That's it. He couldn't get that 3,000 for sure. So one thing is there when it comes to printing, it's like you give the money in installment. You don't give it together. So Prabhupada went to this Radha Press, to Mr. Hitarsan Sharma. So he went to him and then he said, you can start printing. So take this manuscript and you can start your process. And by then, I'll try to arrange some funds. This is what Srila Prabhupada's mood was. But now the problem was, this Radha Press people, they got it printed. But now the print was only 10 points. That font was 10 points. And Prabhupada, you can see how particular Prabhupada was. Prabhupada said, I want 12 points here. 12 points font. Then that person directed him to another person called Gautam Sharma. And he led OK Printing Press. OK Printing Press. He led that. So Prabhupada went there. And then there he could find 12 points printing was done and things like that. It was very, very proper. Very, very proper. Now you look at this Prabhupada situation. Very critical situation. He is in his old age, ripe old age. And now this person has to go to and fro and make sure that this printing is done. Now Prabhupada himself, he would be translating. And he would be translating on the typewriter. That will take a lot of energy. And then he has to take all those manuscripts and then he has to go to OK Press, to Gautam Sharma. And then he has to give them. And now these personalities there in that printing press, they will get it printed. Now, first copy will be printed and that would be given. That is called as a proof copy. So that proof copy would be given to Bhaktivedanta Swami. And now Bhaktivedanta Swami has to read it. And then after reading, obviously there'll be some corrections. So he'll give it to them back. Then he'll go back. Again, he'll come back. Again, he'll come back, and then he would take that proof copy, the second proof copy, and then again, no, he would correct. And then again, he'll go and give it to them. Now, when all these things were happening, when printing was already started and proofreading had started, there were still last chapters of first volume of first canto still remaining pending. And Prabhupada was doing that simultaneously. Now you can imagine how what multitasking he was doing. So last few chapters were remaining, and then he was doing that. Now this is what was happening. He would go there and get the proofs, go to his room, proofread, and then come back and give it to him. Now almost this was happening very frequently. So there one boy in that Radha Krishna temple was staying with his parents. So 14-year-old boy, his name was Kantavedi. He was helping. He was helping Prabhupada. So when I was reading this, I was feeling so nice that how much mercy this boy might have got. So Kantavedi, he said that I will take this job, Swamiji, I'll take this job. So he was going and he was getting the things done. But later, towards the end of 1962, Prabhupada himself had to go, because that was towards the end. Now it has to be done. Now the entire book has to be finished. The first volume has to be finished. So he himself would go. He himself would go. And this described that the street was very, very busy. And very dangerous also. Very, very busy street of Chippiwada. Then from Chippiwada, he would enter Chowri Bazaar. And in Chowri Bazaar was that place. That OK Press. And there were a lot of people. A lot of kids would be playing on the street. And a lot of people from the top. They would be hanging their clothes and so many things. So you can imagine. Now it's almost like a very congested slum area sort of. Something like that it was. It almost took 4 months. 4 months for printing. Just for printing it took 4 months. Now after printing, the pages are ready. Now it has to be, binding has to be done. So binding, it was taken to some other place. And now the binding has to be done. It took 1 month. So 5 months, all these things were happening. And Prabhupada was going to and fro and getting the things done. And now the book is ready. Hardbound is ready. Hardbound was described as red color hardbound with the golden color text on that saying Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, first volume. That was written by A.C. Bhaktivedanta. So at that time, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So it was written there. And then personally, this Bhaktivedanta Swami personally, he designed a dust cover. Dust cover is like the cover which is there on the, which covers the book. Like we have, do we have it here? Any book? No. So if you take a Bhagavatam, so it has got a cover, a separate cover, and it will have a separate design. So like in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I think the old printing, we have, on the lotus flower, we have Radha Krishna, and all around we have round balls, and in that we have Vishnu Murthis. So this was personally designed by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And then this particular dust copy or the dust cover that was given for printing. And this printing, the 1,000 copies were supposed to be printed at Radha Press. Radha Press was the previous one. So that was given there. Now Prabhupada did that. And finally, at the end of 5 months, 1,100 copies were ready. 1,100 copies of first volume of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam was ready. But now the copies are ready, but Bhaktivedanta Swami didn't have money to get those copies. So the deal was, the books will be ready, so you have to complete your payment and then you have to take. So what Bhaktivedanta Swami would do is, give a part of installment and take some books. So 100 copies he would take. And this is what is the description that is given. Now 100 copies is taken. Now the books are ready. What he's supposed to do? He does not have anyone. This old man would personally take those 100 copies and he would go around distributing. So you can imagine what was going on. So in this way, he would go around and distribute. Now he had to publish the second volume and third volume of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the book would be complete. So three volumes were there, the first canto itself. Now, the entire plan was he would go around and distribute the books. Then he would get some money. And using that money, he would print the volume 2. And then after distributing the volume 2, whatever profit he would get, then he would print volume 3 and distribute. And finally, he would be ready to go to West. So this was the mode. And he would go, this first volume is ready, he would go around on his foot, he would walk for kilometers together. And the cost of that one volume of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam was 16 rupees. He'd go around and then he would distribute. And this book had so much of value that great personalities started giving, you know, good reviews, you know, to this book. So like Dr. Radhakrishnan, he gave a nice review. Then Hanuman Prasad Poddarji, who gave 4,000 rupees sponsor, he also gave a good review. There was another personality called Bon Maharaj. So Bon Maharaj is having a huge institute in Vrindavan. So he gave a good review. At that time, the vice president was Dr. Zakir Hussain. He gave a good review. So like this, everyone gave, you know, a good review. So now when Prabhupada is going around and distributing this first volume of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he started working on the second volume of Srimad Bhagavatam also. Simultaneously it is going on. It's not like first I'll finish and then next it will start. No. Simultaneously started, you know, started working on second volume. So the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam consisted of 6.5 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Now the second volume starts from 8th verse of 7th chapter. So that's what he started working on. So he said, let me start working on this manuscript again by going to Vrindavan. So he went back to Vrindavan. And then he started working. Same, you know, day and night put together, he was working. He was working and working and working. When some manuscripts were ready, he came back to Delhi. Because manuscripts are ready, some funds are needed, right? So he came back to Delhi to distribute the volume 1 and to, you know, get some funds for volume 2. So after going to different personalities, getting some 5, 10 rupees and things like that, finally he got a very big sponsor. He went to LH Sugar Factory owner. And there he got 5,000 rupees. 5,000 rupees was really big. So he got 5,000 rupees for volume 2. Now, in early 1964, so you can imagine, at the end of 1962 or start of 1963, this first volume was released. Now, this was in 1964, the start of 1964, that the second volume was about to go for printing. We are discussing about one book, Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you get the book? First canto. We are discussing about the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. All this circus is happening. So one complete year is done. Now second year is starting. And in the initial second year, that is 1964, the volume 2 has gone for printing now. So in volume 1 printing, there was lots of delay. The Radha Press owner, the OK Press owner, all of them, they did a lot of chaos and it was a lot of delay. Now Srila Prabhupada decided that he will personally do everything. So he would personally go to purchase the paper. I mean the plain papers. He will go to the paper shop. He will go to purchase there. Then he would come back. He would give it to the printing press at that OK Press. And then same thing. But here now Prabhupada was personally standing and witnessing what is happening. He was supervising everything. My God, I cannot imagine this. Yeah. So this is the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what Srila Prabhupada had designed by himself. This is the dust cover. So this is what I was talking about. So this is the dust cover. And this is that book. So this was in red color when Prabhupada got it printed. And this is the dust cover, right? So this book was in 3 volumes. Now this is put together. So all the chapters are there in one. So the first volume was printed. Now the second volume printing is going on. And Prabhupada is personally supervising everything. You can imagine the person is writing himself the book. He's translating himself on a typewriter. The same person is going to purchase the paper. Then he comes and gives the paper to the printing press. Then he stands there with, you know, supervising everything if it's happening properly. And not only standing there, he would press the owner. Why are you delaying? Do it fast. Then somehow this volume 2 was also printed. And then volume 1, the people who took volume 1, he was going to all those people to sell volume 2 also. He went all around, the same process, same. On foot he would go around in the busy streets of Delhi. I really wonder sometimes how much Srila Prabhupada did for these books. And look at us. It's very difficult for us to give even half an hour to read the books of Srila Prabhupada every day. I feel shame on myself, you know, because I myself, it becomes difficult for me to take out a good number of hours, you know, to read Prabhupada books. So I was feeling very bad that how much this personality struggled not to get this books printed. On what are we expected? Are we expected to go to any printing shop and supervise and get the book printed, then come and read? The only thing that is expected is the book is ready. It's already there. Now we have to just read it. Just read it. Right? At least this we should understand when we hear how much struggle Srila Prabhupada went through for volume 1, volume 2. We should understand that now we have to give so much of importance now for reading Prabhupada books. So if you're not reading, please start reading. Every single day, at least half an hour to 1 hour, we should read. No doubt about it. This personality put day and night together, Baba. Day and night together. Now it's our turn. It's our turn to reciprocate with Srila Prabhupada by reading the books. Now first volume, second volume is released. Now comes the third volume. He went to Vrindavan again, Radha Damodar Mandir, to complete the volume 3, the books, the volume 3. Now when volume 2 was getting printed, he was already working on volume 3. And for completing the last chapters of volume 3, he went to Vrindavan. But now the manuscripts were ready. Again, sponsor is a big question mark. Who will sponsor now? First time Hanuman Prasad Pradharji sponsored. Second time that sugar factory owner sponsored. Now who will sponsor the third time? This was the big question mark. This is a big question mark. He said, let me go to Bombay. So at that time, Mumbai was called as Bombay. He went to Bombay. He stayed at a free dharmashala called as Prem Kutir Dharmashala. He stayed there. And then if you remember that Radha Press owner's name was Dalmia. So Dalmia, some family members were there. So they also hosted Bhaktivedanta Swami for some time, for 15 days it is said. Now he was going and searching and searching and searching. So a few of his godbrothers suggested that you go to a lady called Mrs. Sumati Murarji. Now Sumati Murarji was the head of Sky India Steamship Company. So there were cargo ships which will take loads from India to go to West. So this lady was very, very pious. She had helped many, many sadhus in various ways. So Abhay or Bhaktivedanta Swami, he went to her to ask for sponsorship. Now when he went to her office, he couldn't get appointment. The officers are outside, they didn't give him appointment. So Bhaktivedanta Swami sat outside the office on the staircase, chanting on his beads. You know for how much time? For 5 hours. For 5 hours he was sitting there. Because he was knowing she's inside, she'll come out. She was waiting that when she comes out, now I'll personally talk to her. And then Sumati Murarji, she came out of her cabin after 5 hours. And then she was hurrying. She was over phone and then a lot of coordination was happening. And secretary was there, Mr. Choksky, secretary of Sumati Murarji. He was there and then Sumati Murarji asked, who is the Swami and why is he sitting here like this? And then the secretary, Mr. Choksky, he said, from last 5 hours, he's sitting here. And Sumati Murarji, being a very kind-hearted lady, she went to Bhaktivedanta Swami sitting on the stairs. And as soon as Bhaktivedanta Swami saw Sumati Murarji, he was very happy. He got up, he paid his pranams to Sumati Murarji. And then he said that, I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you. I've got some important thing to be done. And he described what he has to do. So next day, he was called. Next day, appointment was given. And he went there. He talked with Sumati Murarji. He showed his first volume, second volume. And then Sumati Murarji was very happy that something very great is happening with Srimad Bhagavatam. And then she agreed. She agreed to sponsor. She said, whatever is needed, I'll help you. Whatever is needed with respect to this third volume printing, so I will help you. So finally, the confirmation was there. Confirmation was there that these sponsor is ready for printing. Again, from Bombay, Prabhupada went to Vrindavan to complete the third volume because it's not completed yet. He went there. And then, when all these things were happening, Janmashtami came. It was 31st August. So initial 1964, he started the volume 2 printing. And then now it's almost about to complete the volume 3. And in between, Janmashtami has come. 31st August 1964. Now Prabhupada cannot do anything small. He arranged a big Janmashtami at Radha Damodar Mandir. And invited the governor of UP. He invited the governor of UP. And there was a huge celebration, and a lot of people had come, a lot of prasadam was distributed. So this was a huge celebration in the temple, Janmashtami celebration. And next day was Nandotsav, and our very dear Prabhupada turned 69. He became 69. So you can imagine, at this ripe age of 69, this person is traveling to and fro, to and fro, to and fro. So after a few days, the governor invited Bhaktivedanta Swami to his place, because there was some program that was happening. And Srila Prabhupada went there. And there was one team of Mr. Shishir Bhattacharya and a few people with him. There was a team, and they were going to sing bhajans. And it went for hours together. And at that time, Shishir Bhattacharya, he met Prabhupada. You'll remember this name, Shishir Bhattacharya. He'll come back again. So this personality talked with our dear Srila Prabhupada, and he asked, what is your name, and you know, what are you doing? And you know, our Prabhupada, he responded, I'm A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And then he started speaking about Bhagavatam. Whoever he'll meet, he'll start speaking about Bhagavatam, irrespective of context. This is what he was doing. This is what he was doing. Now, after you know, having all these things done, so now the manuscripts of volume 3 is completely ready. Again, he entered the world of printing. Volume 1, you heard, how was it? Volume 2, you heard. Now again, volume 3, the same things repeated. And Prabhupada wanted in January 65, this should be printed. This, you know, completely it should be done. This was what was the goal. Now you can imagine, it took 2 years complete, to more than 2 years. Because 1962, somewhat it started, now 1965. So it took more than 2 years to print the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now which book? This book. This is the book now which we are talking about. It took 3 years, more than 2 years, for Srila Prabhupada to complete. Now when this book was complete with 3 volumes, Prabhupada was ready. Prabhupada felt, now I've got a substance to go to West. Now hear carefully. This is really very adventurous. Very, very adventurous. Now don't know why, but Prabhupada wanted to go to New York. Many people would go to London, but Prabhupada, you know, wanted to go to New York, and he was meditating to go to New York. And most of the time, he would get a dream that he's already there in New York. So when all this meditation was happening, and simultaneously volume 1, volume 2, volume 3 books were getting published, because not to go to New York, you need some money also. He was going around and publishing at the same time, meditating, how can I go to New York, and so on and so forth. So in meanwhile, he met a businessman at Mathura. His name was Mr. Agarwal. And then while talking to him, then he said that this is what is my goal. My spiritual master has told me to go to West and preach this message. But I want to go to New York, but how will I go? I don't have any means to go there. So Mr. Agarwal's son, Gopal Agarwal, was there in Butler, Pennsylvania. So Mr. Agarwal was very, very pious. He would help sadhus. Anyone who would like to go, he would help. No, so he said, don't worry, I'll do something. So what Bhaktivedanta Swami said was that you can maybe tell your son to sponsor my stay in America. So that was the only talk, you know, that happened. And then Bhaktivedanta Swami forgot about that. And he became busy. He went to Mumbai now to sell his books. Now Delhi was, I think he explored everything. He went to Mumbai now. And when he went to Mumbai, you know, he tried his best selling, but nothing great happened there also. Again, he came back to Delhi. My God, it's very difficult to think about Delhi, Mumbai, and you know, Vrindavan again and again and again. After four months, the Ministry of External Affairs, they called up A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And they said, your no objectional certificate is ready. NOC is ready. Now, NSC form was ready. Now, he's thinking, how did this happen? I didn't do anything. So, here, Bhaktivedanta Swami was very much surprised. So, when he was called there, they showed that someone called as Gopal Agarwal from Butler, Pennsylvania, has signed saying he will take care of your expenses when you go to America. For 1 month, he'll take care of your expenses. So, this was signed by Gopal Agarwal on April 1965. But now there's a very nice thing here. Now, this Mr. Agarwal would tell his son Gopal Agarwal that this sadhu wants to come to America. And then Gopal Agarwal would do this thing for all the sadhus, just to reciprocate with his father. But then, no sadhu went to America. No sadhu whom he signed for went to America. But for the first time, this sadhu was a bold sadhu, which Gopal Agarwal never knew. He will be getting a shock of his life later. We'll come to that later. Now, after getting this, now sponsor is ready. Now, various other things are needed. What are the other things? Passport is not ready. Visa is not ready. P form. There's something called as P form. So P form is like, P form says that there is no great debt in India. I mean, you don't have a great financial debt in India. So you're clear. No, your financial status is clear. So that is P form. And the fourth thing that was needed is obviously a ticket to go there. So passport is needed, visa is needed, P form is needed, and the travel ticket is needed. And now how to travel, that is also not clear. That is also not clear. So passport was easy. So Krishna Pandit Prabhu, so Krishna Pandit, who sponsored Prabhupada to stay in Radha Krishna temple in the Chippiwada, he got the passport ready by 10th June. 10th June 1965, the passport was ready. Okay. Now the passport was ready. Now he's thinking what to do. Now ticket is needed. First ticket should be there. No, then we can think about other things. So he went to Sumati Murarji. He knew Sumati Murarji had helped to print volume 3 in Mumbai. So he went to Mumbai back to get to talk to Sumati Murarji. Now he went to the secretary of Sumati Murarji, that is Mr. Choksky. And he said, see, I've got the sponsor ready. This is the form that is there. Please go to Sumati Murarji and please convince her. Please convince her that, you know, to give a ticket. So Mr. Choksky, he went inside the cabin and then he tried talking to Sumati Murarji and she said, no, he's an old man. No, he cannot go there. She straight away said no. Then he came out and Prabhupada was standing there and he said, what happened? Choksky said, she said no. Then Prabhupada started coaching him what to speak. Prabhupada started saying him, see, tell her that this person has got a strong desire to go there. He wants to preach the message of Indian culture. Please go and tell her. So again, Mr. Choksky went inside and then he spoke whatever was trained to him by Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. And then again, Sumati Murarji said, no, no, he's an old man. No, he shouldn't go. Why he can't stay in India and complete his work? Why he has to go to West and complete his Bhagavatam. Let him be here. We'll support whatever is needed. We will try to get the things done. Why he has to go there? Okay. Now, when he came out for the third time, so at that time, Prabhupada got angry on him, Mr. Choksky. He said, you are a useless fellow. Give me a meeting. I'll go inside. Yes, at that time, Prabhupada went inside. Prabhupada went inside and then when he went inside, so he started talking to Sumati Murarji. Sumati Murarji started telling that, Hari Baba, you're an old man. No, what will you go do? No, go and do that. In fact, many of my staff, they're saying that you might die going there. And then Prabhupada made a face. These are all fake rumors. You just give him the ticket. And Sumati Murarji said that, are you sure that it will be all right? And with a lot of confidence, he said, yes, everything will be all right. 69 years old man who has never crossed India is planning to cross the ocean and go to the other side of the ocean and see at the strength of this person. He's saying yes. And Sumati Murarji, looking at the confidence of the old man, she said okay. And she gave the ticket. So now the passport is ready and now the ticket is ready. I mean, she promised to give ticket. Ticket is not given to him directly. So she promised that I will give. Now, what remains is P form and visa. So both of them have to be done in Mumbai itself. And in Bombay, Prabhupada has no contacts. He has no contacts. He was struggling, you know, what to do for residence. Then Sumati Murarji herself, being very, very kind, she gave the residence in Sky India colony. So where her all the employees of Sky India would stay. So there a small room was given and our dear Prabhupada would stay there. Now it is described that Prabhupada was not calm. He would be very, very agile. He would be going around and doing so many things. It is described that he would take the phone directory, okay, and in the phone directory he would be searching who all are the people who are eligible or qualified enough to sponsor his Bhagavatam sets and other things. You'd be searching that and you'd go out. Morning you'd go out, come back in the evening. You'd be very, very tired. One personality called Mr. Nagarajan, he was an office worker there. So he would see Bhaktivedanta Swami going out like this and coming back sad and things like that. So he would keep watching at him. So he would be going out with a lot of enthusiasm in the morning. And in the evening, when he would come back, you know, his face was hung, you know, in moroseness, in sadness. And when he would come there, so Nagarajan would be keep observing him, you know, what is he doing? Because his house was just across the house of or the room where Srila Prabhupada was staying. So from the balcony, he could see, you know, what Bhaktivedanta Swami is doing. So Bhaktivedanta Swami would be very tired sitting on the chair for a few minutes, completely sad. Immediately, after some time, he would get up with new enthusiasm and start writing, start translating. Now, this is what was going on. And this Nagarajan, you know, his interview was taken. And then he was telling that this personality was crazy. He was morose and suddenly he would, you know, bounce back, jump with so much of enthusiasm and get back, you know, to the same. In fact, you know, wherever these devotees are, these pure devotees are, all the people around will get attracted to a pure devotee. When Prabhupada was staying there, he would go and talk to people around. And in fact, it is described that they would have regular discourses on Bhagavatam now. His book was ready. So he speak from the book. So he'd speak to people around. And Nagarajan would also arrange a lot of discourses. Sumati Murarji wanted to hear what Bhaktivedanta Swami has written. So she would send a car every evening. And Bhaktivedanta Swami would get into the car and he would go to the house of Sumati Murarji. And there he would recite Bhagavatam for her. And that would go on for a good number of hours. So this went on for 15 days and 20 days. Now this is what you know, is spoken. Now a lot of goodwill was built with all the colony people. Now, as I already said, passport was done, travel fare. So that was confirmed. It was not given yet. Now, when it comes to visa, the colony people helped Prabhupada to get the visa. He got the visa on July 28, 1965. So sponsor he got in April 1965. And then he got the passport after that. And now July 28, 1965, this personality got the visa. Now what remains is P form. Now, P form is critical because it has to be dealt with the government of India, right? I mean, the bank, the government bank. So, the P form thing was going on simultaneously, and then here, you know, he had to go to Sumati Murarji because she has to sign. She has spoken orally, but she has to sign. Now, whenever he would go to Sky India, there, he would be made to sit there for a long time, and then the secretary Choksky would say that, you know, you have to sit. He would ask, how long? He would get angry. Because he would say, "Arey, I'm already 69. I've got very less time. I have to go and establish a big mission, a big moment. And then I cannot sit here." And then Sumati Murarji, she would keep giving appointments after appointments. Then he would say, "How long this lady would take to sign a paper?" So like this, and a lot of things was going on. And finally, she signed. And for P form now, Prabhupada would be going again and again to SBI, State Bank of India. There was a person called Matar Chari. So he was official there. And he had that authority to sign the P form. So one day, Bhaktivedanta Swami himself went there. And then this personality, Matar Chari, he told, "See, your sponsor is there. You know, that's a valid form. But this form is signed by a private person. It's not by an institution. And it's just for 1 month. What would happen to you after 1 month? Because your visa is of 3 months. So what would happen to you after 1 month? So we cannot sign." Now you can imagine, everything is said, P form is not getting signed. Now Bhaktivedanta Swami, he went crazy. He said, "No, it's not possible. You have to sign." And that person is saying, "No, I cannot." And he gave valid reasons also. So Bhaktivedanta Swami, he said, "I want to meet your superior." And then the file was sent to the superior. And by Krishna's arrangement, it got passed. The P form was ready now. So Bhaktivedanta Swami was very, very happy. Very, very happy. So now the passport is ready. The visa is ready. The travel ticket is ready. And the P form is ready. And now everything is set. Now the final arrangements were about to start. So Sumati Murarji was very concerned. She was not just acting. She was concerned for Bhaktivedanta Swami because he was old. So she told Mr. Choksky, the secretary, that you go and get some woolen cloths for him. So one day, Mr. Choksi and Bhaktivedanta Swami, they went for shopping. They got some woolen clothes and a lot of things were done. So in between, Mr. Choksi would tease Bhaktivedanta Swami. He would say, I know why are you going in this old age to West. You want to do sightseeing, no? You want to go and enjoy in West, right? And he would go, no, Bhaktivedanta Swami would go crazy hearing this. He would go crazy. Bhaktivedanta Swami, he had some plan, you know, when he'd go there, what he would do. So he got a huge number of pamphlets printed. Now this pamphlet said, it was an advertisement for Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, India's message of peace and goodwill. That's what another pamphlet was. So his plan was, when he go there, you know, he can go and give this pamphlet and, you know, talk to people and things like that. Yes, this was the entire plan. So the clothes were ready. Some dhotis were also got. Some dhotis were purchased. And then, so the ticket for going to West, that was sanctioned by Sumati Murarji. So this was scheduled on a ship called Jaladuta. Now this ship was a cargo ship. Cargo ship means on which the goods will be taken from one place to another. That ship was named as Jaladuta. And this ship was going to sail from Calcutta on 13th of August, 1965. So Sumati Murarji, she gave instruction to the captain of the ship. His name was Captain Pandya. So she gave instructions to him saying, see, this personality called Bhaktivedanta Swami is going to come with you. So make sure you have a good amount of vegetables and fruits, you know, for him. And you know, make sure that, you know, vegetarian food is available for him and so on and so forth. So this was, you know, she was taking care very nicely. Sumati Murarji was taking care of things very nicely. So this Mr. Choksi, he did the various, he spent a lot of time towards the end. And then he dropped Bhaktivedanta Swami to the railway station, and from the railway station there was a train to Kolkata. So Bhaktivedanta Swami arrived in Kolkata 2 weeks before itself. Now Kolkata was not a new place, you know, for A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He had spent his childhood there, but still, now this time when he came to Kolkata, the place seemed to be a new place, because all those family members and all those relatives and all those friends were there only as a list of names in the paper. No one was in touch with him. So now Bhaktivedanta Swami is thinking whom to contact, because now for 2 weeks he has to stay somewhere, right? Then he remembered one person. You know whom? Shishir Bhattacharya. Tell me, who was the Shishir Bhattacharya? Shishir Bhattacharya was that Kirtaniya who did Kirtan in governor's house, the UP governor's place. So he called him up and he said, no, Shishir Bhattacharya, I've come to Kolkata. So, and my travel is there after 2 weeks. So can you please help me? Now Shishir Bhattacharya was no one. He was not even a friend or a well-wisher or something. But since, you know, he was a nice Swami, so Shishir Bhattacharya agreed. He hosted him for 2 weeks. And a lot of things happened. A lot of things happened for these 2 weeks, where Shishir Bhattacharya, he arranged a lot of programs. He would do Kirtan and Bhaktivedanta Swami would give class. So like this, you know, things were arranged very nicely. Day before the departure, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, he went to Mayapur. So Mayapur is a place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And that is the place where the Samadhi Mandir of his spiritual master was there. Samadhi Mandir of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wanted to go and take the blessings of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He went there and he paid his humble obeisances at the Samadhi Mandir. And then he came back. Now he was ready. He was ready with a suitcase, an umbrella, some dry cereals, and several trunks of books. So it is described that he took 200 first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Three sets, first canto, like that. He took 200 books now with him. So that was arranged by Sky India. So they were going to transport that very nicely. Now these were the things which were arranged. Finally, the dream is going to come true. 13th August 1965, it was the day. That was the day when Jaladuta was going to sail from Calcutta. And this was just few days before Janmashtami. No old person who stays in Vrindavan would leave Vrindavan. No devotee who stays in Vrindavan leaves Vrindavan, no, in any case. There are people who take a vow that we'll never leave Vrindavan. Because, in fact, they will not go to Mathura also. Mathura is just 20 minutes drive from Vrindavan. They would not go to Mathura also. So devotees take a vow that will not leave Vrindavan. Because leaving one's own body in Vrindavan is very, very glorious. Very glorious. And not celebrating Janmashtami in Vrindavan. Can you imagine? Prabhupada was knowing now the Janmashtami is going to come. But still he's going out of Vrindavan. He's going out of Vrindavan. And there's only few days for Janmashtami. Oh. I don't think we can comprehend also what Prabhupada was going through. What he was going through. Yes. He could have celebrated Janmashtami in Vrindavan, but only and only and only for people like all of us, he's going to sail to West. So that day morning, Mr. Bhattacharya and Srila Prabhupada took a taxi from that particular place. They went to Kolkata port. Along with him, Srila Prabhupada carried the Bengali version of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The plan was throughout his journey, he would read a Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he checked. Passport, yes. Ticket, visa, P-form, sponsor's address, all set. And then he got down from the taxi. The briefcase was there with him. The umbrella was there. Some dry cereals was there with him. And now the black cargo ship was there in front, which was named as Jaladuta. Prabhupada got down from the taxi and he went to that port. And there he could see the ship named Jaladuta waiting. When Prabhupada was walking in his saffron robes towards the ship, the people, the crew members on the top, they were looking with surprise. A saffron-robed old person is going to accompany all of them. That particular day, there was no one to say even Tata bye-bye to Srila Prabhupada. No one was there. So Shushir Bhattacharya, he tells in one of the interviews that day it was only me who was standing there. And I was not his friend, nor anyone, any of his relative. I was a third person. There was no one else not to bid farewell to him. And A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami is looking at the Jaladuta and he's meditating that now this particular ship is going to take him to West. Now he's about to climb this ship. And what happened? What happened on the ship? When did it start? We will see on Sunday. So Sunday is a very, very important session where Bhaktivedanta Swami is going to climb the stairs and get onto the ship. And he's going to sail for the first time to West. So be ready. Don't think of missing this session. If any questions, please let me know. Okay. Tell now. See, it's already 8:10, so I cannot tell. I cannot continue. So so please wait till Sunday. Yes. So Saturday we have Bhakti Vrikshas. So Saturday we cannot have, and we'll have a youth class on Saturday. So let's wait for this, but hope you know all of y'all, see 51 participants are there even now, y'all have heard what Srila Prabhupada went through. If you really feel that Prabhupada has done something for us, if you really feel that connect with Prabhupada after hearing today's class, only way y'all can reciprocate is by reading Prabhupada books. Start reading Prabhupada books. Ask your mentors which books to read. Start hearing Prabhupada lectures. Can you imagine how much this person has done for all of us? To and fro, Vrindavan, Delhi, Delhi, Mumbai, Mumbai, Delhi, Delhi, Vrindavan. Yes, and in Delhi also going, walking to so many places. Oh, that's it. I cannot at least comprehend. I don't know if someone of you can comprehend. You can. You can. As a gratitude, let's start reading Prabhupada books every single day. This personality, day and night put together, he wrote the books. Can't we read half an hour, 1 hour every day? Half an hour, 1 hour. Who all would like to take a vow that from tomorrow you'll start reading Prabhupada books? I want to hear here. Please tell me who all would like to take a vow. You can say that I would like to take a vow to read Prabhupada books. This is what I want to see in the chat box. Till then, I would like to answer some questions. Why didn't Krishna help our love Prabhupada? He must have given even more help. You'll understand that later. Wait for some time. I remember how tired I was after printing and submitting my 60-70 pages project thesis for my engineering. Can't believe how much determined Grandpa was. Yes. I agree, Mataji, with you. His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada has provided purports on Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, CC and many more books. But he had very less interaction with his spiritual master. What was the source of his knowledge? You will see throughout our sessions, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami would keep saying that I am never separated from my spiritual master. That's what he would say. That's what he would say. So never. Always he would be there with him. And the source of all the knowledge for him was the Shastras, the books by his spiritual master and the books of our Acharyas. And that's what was seen. We should have whole night katha, are baapre. It will be difficult. It will be difficult. Yes, we'll continue. On Sunday, we'll continue. How bounce back was possible at that age? Thinking only gives me goosebumps. Yes. Yes. Me too. It gives a lot of goosebumps. How can old person, 69? 69. And we'll see the birthday celebration of Prabhupada on the Jaladuta ship on Sunday. We'll see that. Okay.